Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Liberty Counsel sues the Colorado governor for targeting ministries. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, this is our sixth federal lawsuit. We have been working with a couple thousand pastors in 44 states at various levels, but now we have six federal lawsuits on behalf of churches, five of which are at the Court of Appeals. This one is on behalf of Andrew Womack Ministries International in Colorado against Governor Jared Polis and the state and local public health departments for discriminating against religious gatherings with restricted numerical and capacity limitations, Holly, that are not imposed on non-religious gatherings. And I think that's the clear indication of these are targeting religious gatherings. And the virus can't know the difference between a non-religious gathering and a religious gathering. So why the difference?
Yeah, so you've got, Andrew Womack Ministries has events. They do Bible conferences, and they also have a Bible college. So at these events, they can have, unlimited amount of people with social distancing?
Depending upon what they're doing, yeah. So
right.
they can have events such as feeding people, and they provide resources and volunteers for various community events such as no limitations mm-hmm. on feeding, on sheltering, on providing certain kinds of counsel.
And granted, their facilities can seat up to 5,000 people. But yet, as soon as you open the Bible, start doing some kind of ministry or Bible teaching, that suddenly changes to 175.
Yeah, and so, for example, one of the areas that's exempt is the primary to 12th grade,
mm-hmm.
completely exempt, no
school,
numerical limitations at all. Primary through 12th grade, no numerical limits. So Andrew Womack Ministries actually has an annual event for teens. Hmm. And that annual event occurs at the Bible College, which is Karis Bible College. And they have a 3,100-seat sanctuary. As you said, total 5,000 seats, which includes the 3,100-seat sanctuary.
Right, they got classrooms. They have other areas where they
right,
could
because
hold
of the
that
college.
Many, right.
So they could actually seat and simulcast to 5,000 individuals mm-hmm. in the classrooms and 3,100 people in the sanctuary.
It's a lot of space.
It's a lot of space. So this is where they would have their annual events for the teenagers. And these teens could meet together under the current restrictions in Colorado, with no limitations on the numbers if they were gathering together for an educational purpose. Mm-hmm. But as soon as Andrew Womack or anyone else transitions into a religious worship service or Bible study that is a religious gathering, now the restrictions kick in. It's 175 people. Now, some people might say, well, that is a lot more people that's permissible in Colorado than in California. Sure, California has, in most of the state, no worship, zero. And in a small section of the state, no more than 100 people, no matter the size of the sanctuary. This one has a limit of 175. But the number doesn't really mean anything. They can have no worship, 10 people, 50 people, 100 people, 175 people. The government doesn't have that authority, especially when you look at the fact that similar non-religious events have no numerical limits, yet when it comes to religious gatherings, they impose a religious numerator or denominator on that that you can't exceed, a number that you can't exceed.
Right.
Now, why is that? Because if you're gathering together for a non-religious event, the virus is not going to distinguish and say, well, we're only going to attack the religious event.
Right. Science will tell you that, as well as common sense. So it's not the virus that's, you know, discriminating anything. It's the governor.
It's the governor that's discriminating. And in fact, under the governor's order, there's over 80 quote, critical businesses. Now, they use the word critical businesses as opposed to essential business or essential activity. There's over 80 critical businesses that are exempt from the size limitation, including, as I mentioned, primary through 12, public, mm-hmm. charter, and private education. They also have many other places that are exempt, such as large commercial operations. Now, they don't go in to define what that means, but if you're a large commercial operation or a large employer, you're exempt from the 175 limitation.
So like a warehouse, perhaps a warehouse operation, they're going to exempt them.
Now, the interesting thing, when you look at the 80-plus, quote, critical businesses, they have no numerical limitation. Churches are included as one of the, quote, critical businesses. So you would think, well, they're getting the same kind of recognition and treatment. No, because in the description of what a church is or a house of worship, it then imposes the limitation. So here is what you have, 80-plus critical businesses exempt. Within that is the mention of houses of worship, but there is a cap of the number. So it's very clear when you read it, why did they put a cap of 175 on places of worship, houses of worship, but not a cap on the other 80-plus critical businesses?
Right, and it's very important, I think, to look at the motivation behind that. Why would you discriminate against one and not the other?
I think because several things. One, they don't understand churches.
Right.
And they think that everybody gathers together like sardines and they can just simply flip off the switch and go online. And they have a misunderstanding of what church and worship's about. And two, I think they have a hostility to it. Now, mm-hmm. in our complaint, and our complaint is large, the total document with exhibits and so forth is over 600 pages. This particular governor, Holly, has been very, very active in issuing executive orders, mm-hmm. constantly issuing executive orders. You can actually read the complaint online. You can go to lc.org, and we filed it just recently.
And, you know, and in that complaint, there's pictures of the protest, and there are a lot of people smashed together in those protests.
And the governor doesn't say anything about it.
Crickets.
Yeah, just complete silence about the protesters, because he supports them, as do all these other governors around the country that restrict churches. They support the protesters. I'm talking about tens of thousands
yes.
of people, not 175. Tens of thousands.
Smashed together, lined down the street.
They are like sardines.
Yes.
in a can. Yeah, they are jammed together.
Right.
Shouting and screaming for a long period of time.
Right.
And that's okay for the governor, but not a religious worship. So that's why we've filed this lawsuit, because Andrew Womack Ministries is a worldwide Bible teaching ministry. It conducts, as you mentioned, biblically based conferences, seminars, events, and other religious gatherings. In the complaint, we list a lot of different places of the Bible where the Bible speaks about worship. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking, not abandoning, not neglecting the assembling of yourselves together. It's a reciprocal pronoun, assembling of yourselves together. Colossians 3:16. Mm-hmm. Talks about singing praises to one another, another reciprocal pronoun in the original language. It comes out in the English as well. You can't do that online. There are lots of scriptures in the Old Testament, so many you couldn't even write down, and New Testament, about singing praises to the Lord.
Right.
The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. There's also lots of scriptures talking about laying on of hands to anoint someone, to pray for the sick, to ultimately commission them, to ordain them for the ministry, to pray for them, and so many other things within the scripture that are not options.
And you look at what's happening. We were created to fellowship. We were created to be together. And you look at the result of what's happening when people have been isolated from each other, and the rate of depression, the suicide, the abuse, all those have skyrocketed up because of that. People need the church. They need the doors open. They need to be there among each other.
They do. Worship is certainly, you can broadcast something online, but you can't lay hands on somebody online. You can't anoint the sick online. Certainly you can go through the motions, but there's something in that interpersonal communication that God speaks about, assembling together. The church itself, ecclesia, means to be called out or to assemble. It's an assembly of people. And the governors have no right to discriminate and say, we're going to allow this non-religious event with no restrictions, but now, oh, it's a religious event, we're going to impose the restrictions on it. It's discrimination. It's unconstitutional. Pray for this case. It's the Andrew Womack Ministries International case. You can learn more about it at lc.org, along with our other cases that are all the other ones that are at the Federal Courts of Appeal. lc.org, that's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.